This is text number 5. Since this is prose, I will just read it once. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Badam Uktam Bhagavata Uttama Shlokasya Srimach Charanaravinda Makaranda Rasa Aveshita Chetaso Bhagavata Paramahamsa Deita Katham Kinchit Antaraya Vihatam Swam Shivatamam Padavim Naprayena Hinvanti. Translation: Sri Shukadev Goswami said, what you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet and whose mind is always absorbed in His glories may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Sukadev Goswami accepted both of the king's propositions, that a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness cannot embrace materialistic life again, and that one who has embraced materialistic life cannot take up Krishna consciousness at any stage of existence. Although accepting both these statements, Sukadev Goswami qualified them by saying that a person who has once absorbed his mind in the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may sometimes be influenced by impediments, but he still does not give up his exalted devotional position. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are two kinds of impediments in devotional service. The first is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. This is called Vaishnava Aparadh. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his devotees not to commit Vaishnava Aparadh, which he described as mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a beautiful garden, it destroys everything, leaving a barren field. Similarly, the power of Vaishnava Aparadh is so great that even an advanced devotee becomes almost devoid of his spiritual assets if he commits it. Since Krishna consciousness is eternal, it cannot be destroyed altogether, but advancement may be checked for the time being. Thus, Vaishnava Aparadh is one kind of impediment to devotional service. Sometimes, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee desires to impede one's devotional service. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were formerly great, were formerly Jaya and Vijay, the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. But by the desire of the Lord, they became His enemies for three lives. Thus, the desire of the Lord is another kind of impediment. But in both cases, the pure devotee, once advanced in Krishna consciousness, cannot be lost. Following the orders of his superiors, Swayambhuva and Lord Brahma, Priyavrat accepted family life, but this did not mean he lost his position in devotional service. Krishna consciousness is perfect and eternal, and therefore it cannot be lost under any circumstances. Because the material world is full of obstructions to advancement in Krishna consciousness, there may appear to be many impediments, yet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declares in Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashyati. Once one has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. In this verse, word Shivatamam is very significant. Shivatamam means the most auspicious. The devotional path is so auspicious that a devotee cannot be lost under any circumstances. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. Partha neve anamutra vinashas tasya vidyate. My dear Arjuna, for a devotee there is no question of being lost either in this life or in the next. Bhagavad Gita 6.40. In Bhagavad Gita 6.43, the Lord clearly explains how this is so. Tatratam buddhi sanyogam labate purvadehikam etateta tato bhuya samsiddho kurunandana. By the order of the Lord, a perfect devotee sometimes comes to this material world like an ordinary human being. Because of his previous practice, such a perfect devotee naturally becomes attached to devotional service, apparently without cause. Despite all kinds of impediments due to surrounding circumstances, he automatically perseveres in devotional service and gradually advances until he once again becomes perfect. Bilva Mangal Thakur had been an advanced devotee in his previous life. But in his next life, he became greatly fallen and was attached to a prostitute. Suddenly, however, his entire behavior was changed by the words of the very prostitute who had so much attracted him, and he became a great devotee. In the lives of exalted devotees, there are many such instances proving that once one has taken to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. The fact is, however, that one becomes a devotee when he is completely free from all reactions to sinful life. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 7.28, Esham tantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandamoha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of illusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. On the other hand, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mitobi Paddeta Griha Tanam. A person is too attached to materialistic family life, home, family, wife, children, and so on, cannot develop Krishna consciousness. These apparent contradictions are resolved in the life of a devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, a devotee is never bereft of his position on the path of liberation, which is described in this verse as Shivatamam Padavim. Hare Krishna. A very common story which we have heard many times is of one sadhu who left his home, he renounced the world and went to the forest. And he would sit in a cave and there was no civilization anywhere. He was alone in the cave. Only once a year he would come out of that cave. And when he would come out, by some arrangement, there would be lots of people gathered there to receive him. They all knew that he is coming out once a year. So they would worship him, they would offer all respects to him. And then again after sunset he would go back. And again after 1 year he would come out. So this was happening every year. And 1 year on the scheduled day when he came out, he saw that there was nobody outside. He was surprised. He said, why nobody has come today? So he walked a little ahead, still he couldn't see anybody. Then he thought probably they are on the way, so he climbed a tree and he saw from the top of the tree, still he couldn't see anybody for miles together. And finally, exasperated, he was searching everywhere and finally realized the sun had set. And as the sun set, it dawned on him that he had left everything, he had renounced everything, but he was still attached to being respected. I was still attached to fame and recognition. That one day in a year, he was still attached to that one day when people would come and worship him. So somebody might be in the garb of a renunciant, yet he might still be attracted to subtle attachments. On the other hand, somebody like Mr. Nishikant Sanyal Prabhu was a professor at Ravenshaw College and a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a grihastha, he had wife, he had children. And he was so exalted that he would give his entire salary to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then Bhaktisiddhanta would give him some money to spend for the month. So he would get 900 rupees salary and Bhaktisiddhanta would give him 300 rupees and he would keep 600 rupees. So we see that detachment, renunciation or devotional service, it is not constrained by one's position, one's ashram. And in this chapter we see Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring about Priyavrat Maharaj, another great devotee, how he developed renunciation though he was in family life. This is an interesting question which Parikshit Maharaj is asking because he himself has demonstrated exemplary renunciation and detachment when he left home and went to the banks of the Ganges. And in today's verse, Sukhdev Goswami is now beginning to reply to Parikshit Maharaj's questions by saying that yes, devotional service is most auspicious. And even if there are impediments, one comes back, one doesn't give up devotional service. Srila Prabhupada also gives the example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur in the purport, how a person comes back, he does not lose devotional service. These words of Sukhdev Goswami, they are in perfect parampara because his param guru, Srila Narad Muni also has emphatically declared these statements in his instructions to Srila Vyasadeva. And when instructing Vyasadeva, Narad Muni is basically telling him how without devotional service, everything is a waste. Because Vyasadeva had compiled many literatures, Narad Muni comes and tells him, my dear disciple, whatever you have done so far is simply a waste of time. He says, Jugupsitam Dharmakrite. Whatever you have written is condemnable because you have not directly glorified Krishna. And then Narad Muni also gives his own case study, his own example, how devotional service is most auspicious, how it is perfect. And then, in three verses, he establishes how devotional service is not lost, whatever the impediments may be. And in these verses, in these three verses, he also establishes how devotional service is most superior. He says, Tektva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi yatrakvava badram abhudamushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. He tells Vyasadeva that tektva swadharmam, if somebody has given up all religious practices and charanam bhujam harir, if he has somehow accepted the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, what is the loss? He has not lost anything, even if he has lost the whole world. Bhajan apakva tapate tato yadi. And even if his bhajan is apakva, apakva means it's not complete, it's not fructified. And pate tato yadi, even if he falls down, etrakva vabhadram abhudamushyakim, what is the loss? There is no loss. On the other hand, kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. Somebody might follow dharma perfectly, but if he has not taken shelter of Krishna, he has lost everything. So this is a very, very emphatic statement by Srila Narad Muni. Now generally when in material world, we have something with us. If that is assuring us something high, some high happiness or high returns, it also is accompanied by a high risk. Like any enjoyment we do is basically an appointment with suffering. We can't enjoy in material world. Even in stock markets, if I have invested in a high return yield bond, then the risk is also high. And if you don't want high risk, if you want a very low risk, then the return is also low. But devotional service is so potent, Narad Muni is explaining, that it is assuring us the highest returns, and also there is no risk. There is no risk. This is the unique position of devotional service. Like in our exams, we have students, sometimes they fail. They are supposed to get 35 marks, they get only 30. They fail. So they have to give exams again 6 months later. And they have to again get 35. It's not that they have got 30 in the previous exam, so this exam they can get just 5 marks and they will be considered as passed. No, they have to again appear for the exam. But in devotional service, somebody is at 30, next life he starts with 31. He's already got 31 marks. There is no loss. Even Krishna explains this in the Gita. Svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate maito bayat. Even if we do little, it protects us. We have the example of Bharat Maharaj. He apparently left, but Krishna protected him. Chitraketu Maharaj, it seems he committed a Vaishnava aparadh, but Krishna protected him. And Ajamil was allured by sense gratification. Still, he remembered Krishna. Of course, when we hear such statements, being a typical Kali Yuga product, our mind sometimes might give a reasoning, an argument that, fine, we have done some devotional service in the past few years, so does this mean we can go back and enjoy sense gratification? Because Krishna will anyway protect us, because we have done some devotional service. No, this logic cannot be given, because this fall down refers to accidental fall downs, or when a person is trying hard, but is failing due to his weaknesses. Now we know all this, so we are trapped in one sense. We can't deliberately give up devotional service and commit aparad, because then that will be an offense to the holy name. Deliberately, voluntarily, in knowledge, doing this. So we have to perfect our life in this lifetime itself. One of our brahmacharis in Pune, we all know him, Radhesham Prabhu. When he was joining, his mother and sister told him, why are you joining full time? See, they were very intelligent. They told him, see, there is nothing lost in Krishna consciousness. So you have done so much. So you come back, you be in family life, take care of us. Next life you can continue. So he was also very intelligent. He said, that's exactly what I told my parents in my last life. So I have to continue this time. So we can't give up devotional service with this kind of argument. When Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay in September 1973, he was giving a lecture and he quoted this verse, Tektva Sadharmam. And then he concluded the lecture by saying, even if you can't give up sinful life, no problem. Somehow just chant Hare Krishna. And then he said, thank you very much. And one man, very arrogantly he asked a question. Immediately he raised his hand and he challenged Prabhupada. He said, oh, you are saying, even if you are sinful, you chant. That means, I'll chant God's name, then I'll go and commit sin. Prabhupada was furious. Prabhupada shouted at him. Prabhupada said, what do you think? Do you think we are dacoits? And that man didn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. He said, no, I'm saying, Swamiji, that you are saying like this. So if somebody commits sin, Prabhupada said, no, you answer my question. Are we dacoits? He said, no. Then Prabhupada said, so we are gentlemen. So we are saying, I am saying, that even if a sinful person takes to devotional service, nothing is lost, then why don't you believe me? Why are you speaking all this nonsense? Prabhupada was shouting at him. So this man was completely shaken. And then Prabhupada said, anyway, even if that person becomes a dacoit, he commits sin, he is better than you. Because you have at least surrendering to Krishna, whereas you are only doing loose talk, doing only simply big talk. And then Prabhupada quoted this verse, Api Cheta Sudharacharo, and then gave the example of the fan, how the fan is moving, and if you switch it off, for some time it appears to be moving, but it eventually will stop. Similarly, a person might still be addicted to sinful life, but because he has taken shelter of Krishna, after some time he will eventually give it up. And after smashing him completely, Prabhupada ended by telling him, I am sorry, it is anyway Krishna's certificate, what I can do. Krishna is establishing this. So Krishna is promising, he is assuring that there is no loss. Of course, as devotees, we are not skeptical about this. Our problem is, sense gratification is very alluring. We know devotional service is highest. We want to continue. But there is always this temptation to compromise, to engage in sense gratification. Therefore, in the next verse, Narad Muni declares that sense gratification is no big deal. We shouldn't be obsessed with that idea because it doesn't really give happiness. Because besides security, which we just discussed, which devotional service provides, another thing that devotional service provides is real happiness, which is ultimately the objective of all our sense gratificatory pursuits. Why do we engage in sense gratification? So that ultimately we get happiness. And that is exactly what is provided by devotional service. So he says, Taseva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam uparyada talabhyate dukkhavat anyata sukham kale na sarvatra gabhira ramasa. Kovido, one is intelligent. What is his hetu? What is his pursuit? Taseva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam uparyada. He will try to get that object which cannot be got by going anywhere in the 14 planetary system. Ta labhyate na brahmatam uparyada. Even if you might go to the topmost planet, you won't get it. That you should try to get in this human form of life. And somebody might say, and we want happiness, that is what we are after. No, Narad Muni is saying, that you will anyway get. What you are thinking is happiness, that will anyway automatically come in your life. Talabhyate dukkhavat anyata sukam. Just like you get dukkha, you get misery without asking. Similarly, happiness will also come. Like, how many times we pray? Does anyone pray that, oh Krishna, let my house catch fire, or let me meet with an accident, or let somebody die, or let me fail in the exam, let my son fail in the exam. We don't pray for these calamities, we don't pray for these kind of miseries, but still they come. We don't pursue them, still they come. So Narad Muni is saying, similarly, even without your asking, you will get happiness. We don't have to endeavor for this material happiness. And whatever is destined, you will get it. Because there is one force which will come and take away all this so-called happiness and which you will never be able to enjoy. And what is that force? Ramasa. Ramasa means a great force. Kale na sarvatra gabhira ramasa. By the force of time, these things will come and go. Earlier also, Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva that Kale na vyakta ramasa. Our time is a great force. It wipes off everything. So this so-called happiness that everybody is engaging in and desiring to achieve, it is lost. And whatever is destined, we are destined to get this kind of happiness, that only we will get. No matter how much ever we manipulate the material energy, how much ever we try to control, we will get only what is destined. Recently there was this news about one man who went to Tirupati Balaji and was taking darshan. And in Tirupati Balaji there are, you know, there's lakhs of rupees that is put in the hundi every day. And some people offer a service to count all that money that comes in the hundi. And they have a lot of TV cameras because a lot of money comes. So this man volunteered and he was counting all that hundi money. And suddenly he found one diamond ring. And he knew that this is priceless. So he was tempted. And all TV cameras are there. But he had to somehow steal it. And somehow very dexterously managed to somehow put it in his pocket. Somehow he managed to escape. And then he came down to Tirupati, down, and then he went to different jewelry shops to get some value for this diamond. And every shopkeeper saw that and said, this is too costly, I can't pay any amount for it. Finally he went to the whole city of Andhra Pradesh, he couldn't find it anywhere. Finally somebody suggested him that you should go to Bombay. Bombay has a lot of diamond jewelers, they will be able to give you a price for this. Finally in Bombay also he went everywhere, finally he came to this famous opera house, Tribhuvan Das Bhimji Zaveri shop. There he came to value it, and when the shopkeeper saw it, he said, just a minute, I'll tell you the price for this, and you wait for 2 minutes. And after 2 minutes, this man was shocked. He was surrounded by armed policemen, and they said, you are under arrest. And he was shocked. He said, what did I do? He said, you have stolen this from Tirupati Balaji. So he asked, how do you know this? For the Tribhuvan Das Bhimji Zaveri said, I was the one who put it in the hundi. So I knew. How did you get it? So I knew that you must have stolen it. For this man went all around trying to get some value for that, thinking he will be happy, he will somehow get money. But it was not destined. It was caught. Therefore, happiness, what we think sense gratification will provide us, that is simply something that is new that gives us happiness. Like we get new clothes or new car, new house. As long as it is new, it gives us happiness. But Mr. Time is so cruel, he strikes. And very soon we realize that the same object is not giving us happiness anymore. This is the force of time. Like generally, if we purchase a product, we don't mind paying a little extra money if there are some additional features in that product. Like if we buy a watch, we don't mind paying extra if it is waterproof, if it can help us. Or we buy wood. If it is termite resistant, then it's better. That applies to everything. Shoes, shirts. Similarly, we are trying to purchase happiness in this world, but that is constrained by the time factor. So Narad Muni is saying we should look for that happiness which is time proof, which can transcend even time, the influence of time. And that is obtained by the process of Krishna consciousness. And that is devotional service. Generally, we pay a little more to get a better product. And here we have the best product of devotional service, and it's a discount. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a major concession. Just chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, there is no problem. Srila Prabhupada was in Jagannath Puri in January 1977. After Kumbh Mela, he went to Bhubaneswar, then he came to Puri to look for some land. And he was walking in the beach with his disciples, and he pointed out to the sea. The waves were coming and he said, you see these waves? I was here in 1920. I was just married and I had come here. And I was also jumping in these waves up and down. For a long time I was enjoying, I was running around here. But 57 years have passed like this. Now I can't do it. So in this material world, things are curtailed or because of this time factor. Only devotional service it carries forward. I was reading an advertisement a few days back of an insurance company which said, you put your money in our insurance company, and their slogan was, call per control. They were assuring that they will give control over. It's actually a joke. It is time which is controlling all our lives. And we are foolishly thinking that we can control time. Therefore, in this material world, whatever so-called we are perceiving, whatever happiness we perceive, that is there. That might be in our vision. That might be in drishti. But soon, that becomes smriti. In the sense, it simply fades off and there are only remembrances or some memories left of that so-called happiness. But Krishna consciousness is right now might be smriti. It might be simply remembrance of Krishna, execution of sadhana bhakti. But this smriti leads to actual perception, drishti. So this is the drastic difference between devotional service and material sense gratificatory pursuits. Therefore, devotional service gives us security, and it also gives us this real happiness which transcends all constraints imposed by the time factor. Now somebody might question, why is it like this? What is so special about devotional service that it has these qualities? And that Narad Muni says in the third verse, he says that is because of the Krishna factor. Because devotional service means service to Mukunda, one who gives liberation, devotional service ensures that there is no loss. Navai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen mukunda sevan nevadanga samshritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatumiche narasa graho jana. Arjuna is saying, navai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen. Don't think that somebody who has been a devotee and he falls down, don't think he is like a karmi. Smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar. Because he is forced by Krishna to remember. Smaran mukundangri. He remembers Krishna's lotus feet. And upaguhanam punar. Krishna forces him to embrace his own lotus feet again and again. Viha tumiche narasa graho jana. So one who has taken to Krishna consciousness, he won't give up because rasa graho jana. He has once got that rasa, once he has got that taste in Krishna consciousness, he won't give up. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he gives a very nice example. He says, because Krishna is involved, because a devotee has once remembered Krishna, when he falls down, he and the karmi, they might externally appear to be same. But the difference is, the difference between an orphan, a child who is on the street, and the king's child who also might have rebelled and who might be also on the street loitering. So both of them are externally doing the same things. But the king's child is under direct observation. King's men are there. King is under the supervision of the king. Similarly, a devotee who has once accepted Krishna consciousness, he is like a king's child. Krishna takes care. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, that Krishna might punish such a child in two ways. First is, he might remove all his material paraphernalia. He might make him completely impoverished. Or the second thing that Krishna might do is, he might give him birth in a very high family. Like Krishna says, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. One of the two things Krishna might do. And of these two, which is better? Prabhupada says, of the two, the first situation is better. When he has been removed of everything. Because in that situation, when he has nothing with him, he is most fortunate because that gives him an opportunity to helplessly depend on Krishna. And in that state of helplessness, he perceives Krishna's presence. Therefore, this is Krishna's greatest quality. He ignores volumes of mistakes that we have committed. And he sees some trace, he picks up. I remember a few years back when Gaurang Prabhu and some devotees would go to Somaya College for preaching. There were many boys would come only for the last kirtan and that too last 2 minutes in the kirtan, and then the main agenda would be someone take that khichdi prasad. And they would take khichdi prasad and then they would be gone. They were nowhere to be seen after that. So I remember a few years ago, Gauranga Prabhu showed me a letter by one boy, and that boy had written, "I used to come to your programs in Somaya College just for Kichidi. But now I am come to Bihar, and suddenly I am inspired to do devotional service. So please instruct me and guide me." And then devotees were communicating with him. And by Krishna's arrangement, this boy, he came to Bombay, and then he became so fired up, and now he's got initiated and he's a brahmachari here. Keshav Chandra Prabhu. He's managing kitchen, and he's in fact handling all the Khichdi Prasad for all the college programs now. So how Krishna arranges, we don't know. Like in IIT also, there was one devotee. He would go to one boy and tell him, "Please come for the programs." And this boy would say, "I'll come later, I'll come later." He would always say that. But Krishna, he took that statement very seriously, because he said, "I'll come later." So after 1.5 years, that boy came. Now he's a member of the base, chanting 16 rounds. So what Krishna takes seriously, how Krishna arranges for a person to become a devotee, we don't know. Because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying once in a program when he came here, he was saying, Krishna is more desperate to get you back to Godhead than you are to go back to Godhead. So Krishna does make arrangements. And if somebody has already practiced, we should be rest assured that Krishna will take care of him. So somebody in this material world might be fired by his boss. You might be divorced by your wife. Or you might be diseased badly. Or your parents might reject you. Or you might be disrespected in the society. But yet, Krishna will accept us. We simply have to take shelter. We simply have to surrender. Thus we see that Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have revealed that this is what is needed. Our lofty achievements is not what really pleases Krishna, but how much we are sincere, how much we are eager to take shelter. And that attracts Krishna's mercy. His Grace Tejas Prabhu was telling us how one devotee was practicing very strongly Krishna consciousness, he left. And then he came back to Prabhupada. He was in trousers and he had a ponytail and he was completely different looking. And he was sitting in front of Prabhupada and he was lamenting. He was saying, "Prabhupada, I am so sinful. I know this is correct, but I want to enjoy. I want to be a free bird." And he kept saying, and Tejas Prabhu was sitting next to Prabhupada. And Tejas Prabhu said, Prabhupada didn't chastise him, didn't ridicule him, didn't laugh at him. Prabhupada became very grave. And Prabhupada said, "Just see how much he is struggling to get Krishna." So this was Prabhupada's understanding. That somebody is struggling with his own shortcomings, he is dear. Bharat Maharaj, he was not very happy when he gave up devotional service. He repented for it. Ajamil seriously regretted. When Chitraketu Maharaj, he repented for it. Therefore, in this mood, this attitude is what protected them. And the best example of this is again King Parikshit. He also, when he committed an offense, actually it was not an offense, Prabhupada, he writes in so many purports, this was an arrangement of the Lord. But Parikshit Maharaj kept feeling that he is responsible for this. Therefore, he laments. He says, Mahipati svatatat karma garyam vichintayan atmakritam sudurmana aho mayani chamanarya vatkritam niragasi brahmani gudatejasi. He says, "I have done karma garyam. I have done the most abominable activity. And what have I done? Aho mayani cham. I have done the most heinous act. Anarya, most uncivilized act. By offending niragasi brahmani guda tejasi, a faultless, grave, well-qualified brahmana, I offended him. This is my biggest sin that I have committed." And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Parikshit Maharaj is repenting. Repentance is a sign of a good devotee. Prabhupada says, repentance is like fire. Just like fire burns off all the leaves and twigs in the forest, repentance will burn off all our sinful proclivities and reactions. Genuine repentance. And Parikshit Maharaj demonstrated this. And Srila Prabhupada also, in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, when he is conversing with Bob Cohen, he makes a bold statement. He says, inattentive chanting is not a fault if there is genuine repentance and crying. If somebody is genuinely repenting for his inability to chant attentively, then Krishna forgives that. But voluntary, deliberate deviation, Krishna won't tolerate. For this is the mood that attracts devotees, senior devotees, pure devotees, advanced devotees. They are attracted when they see that a devotee is genuinely repenting and wanting to progress. And Krishna, through these advanced devotees, reciprocates with that devotee. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was repenting like this, and he was accepting this as very good condition for him. And when he was repenting like this, what happened? Krishna directly reciprocated. How did Krishna reciprocate with Parikshit Maharaj? It is explained, Tatropa jagmur bhuvanam punana mahanubhava munaya sashishya prayena tirta bigama padesher swayam mitirta nipunanti santa. At that time, when Parikshit Maharaj was repenting like this, from all the planets, people came. Tatropa jagmur bhuvanam punana. And who came there? Mahanubhava munaya sashishya. The great devotees of the Lord, they came there, and they didn't come alone. They came with all their disciples also. And why did they come there? Now, apparently, they came there because there is a holy place of pilgrimage. Prayena tirta bigama padesher. They came there to take bath in the Ganges because it's a holy place, apparently. But Suta Goswami is refusing to buy that story. He's saying, no, it can't be like that because Swayam nitirta nipunanti santa. Because they are themselves holy place, why they should go to a holy place? So they have come there to take association of Parikshit Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that generally people go, common men go to holy place for that they can drown their sins there. So the holy place of pilgrimage gets overburdened with the sins of common people. But when pure devotees go there, by their presence they sanctify that place. So this is the power of devotional service. So Parikshit Maharaj realized that all these great devotees have come, and then after seeing all of them, he paid obeisances. Abhyarcha Raja Shirasa Bhavande. He worshipped them, he fell at their feet and humbly surrendered to them and took shelter of these devotees. And when he took shelter of these devotees, he started offering prayers to them. He said, you have all come not because I am a great emperor who has renounced everything. You have simply come because you have felt pity on me. Because Dura Visrishta Bhatagarya Karma, a king should be kept far away by the renunciants. King is like a toilet. Just like a toilet is kept far away from the house in the Vedic society, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, you are actually supposed to be very, very far away from me. But still you have come because you are very compassionate on me. And not only that, you have come because you are very kind to my grandfathers, Pandavas. Because of their devotional service, because you are pleased with them, you have come here. And then he reveals this profound realization. Tasaiva megasya paravaresho. He says that I am now afflicted because Vyasakta chittasya grihesho bhikshnam. Because Krishna wants me to renounce material life. Nirveda mulo dvijashapa rupo. And that is why I have been cursed by this takshaka. I have been cursed to die by the biting of this takshaka bird. Now, very important, Prabhupada writes there that now how is Parikshit Maharaj getting all the realization that I am sinful, you have come to protect me, and Krishna have arranged this. Prabhupada writes there that Parikshit Maharaj could understand all this because he was in the presence of great devotees of Krishna. And then later on, also in the same purport, Prabhupada explains that presence of Krishna actually means presence of devotees. Because Krishna is present and devotees are present. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj could understand this, and therefore, if we have the association of devotees, we should think this is a mark of favor by Krishna to us. For the very fact that we have the association of devotees and we are executing devotional service means Krishna is personally monitoring our life. Narottam Das Thakur also, we know the story of Narottam Das Thakur. He was personal recipient of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So this is our Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. Everybody emphasizes on this, taking shelter of devotees. Narottam Das Thakur, Lord Chaitanya actually, when he came to Ramkeli, looking at Kheturi Gram, side of Kheturi, he shouted, in ecstasy he screamed, Narottam, Narottam, and he predicted how a pure devotee Narottam will come. And he invested, Lord Chaitanya invested his prema in Padma River. And he also instructed Lord Nityananda to direct Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam Das Thakur was a personality who was a direct recipient of Lord's mercy, and he writes in his prayers, Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. Where is that servant of the six Goswamis? I want to serve him. And I want to serve him not just this lifetime. Janame Janame Hoye Abhilash. Life after life, I want to be in the shelter of devotees. Ananda Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Majayaman Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kuriyash Nama Sankirtana Kahe Narottam Das. So Narottam Das prayer is that I want to be a dust at the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Because in the association of devotees, and when we take shelter of devotees, Krishna is pleased. So we have, Srila Prabhupada has given us ISKCON, and Prabhupada himself would give the example of a mango. If a mango has to be ripe, it just has to hang on to that tree. So if we simply hang on to this tree of ISKCON, with these wonderful different branches, we will also perfect our life. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking with his disciples on the sea beach, and Brahmananda Prabhu was there. So Prabhupada saw a crab. Prabhupada told Brahmananda Prabhu, get that crab. Brahmananda Prabhu, we all know, huge, hefty, well-built. And he jumped into the waters to catch that crab. But that crab expertly escaped the clutches of Brahmananda Prabhu and went inside the water. And he was all wet. And when he came out, Prabhupada laughed. Prabhupada said, you are an American football player. You are so huge. But you couldn't catch a simple crab because crab took shelter of the ocean. Similarly, we might be attacked by the huge Maya, strong, powerful. But if we take shelter of the ocean of Krishna consciousness, we are protected. Maya will not be able to harm us. And this association and shelter, it helps us in many ways. One obvious thing is it gives us faith. Because right now, at least I can speak for myself, material pleasure is very tangible. We can actually perceive and experience it. Spiritual pleasure is a kind of a little vague concept. Not exactly, you know, it's not that we perceive it all the time. So therefore we need to have faith. And when we see advanced devotees practicing Krishna consciousness and they are happily executing, then we get that faith. Therefore shelter of devotees helps us develop strong faith that this process works. And most importantly, when we have shelter of devotees, naturally you live with some people for a long time, you start loving them. And when we love devotees, that love protects us from fall down. Like one devotee was telling me that before he came to Krishna consciousness, he was about to engage in the most obnoxious illicit activity. He was in the hostel. And just when he was about to engage in that, he remembered his parents. How loving his parents are. So he started thinking, oh, what my parents will think. And he felt so ashamed that he ran away from that place and he protected himself. So similarly, when we are in association of devotees and we have thick bond of friendship, and when there is a temptation or when there is problem, because we don't want to break the heart of devotees, we might be abstained from committing sinful acts. Actually, it is not that we are doing. Because we are thinking of devotees always, Krishna becomes pleased and then he gives us the strength to say no to Maya. That is how Krishna actually works. Therefore, devotional service, when we execute in the association of devotees, that protects us from fall down. Is Olina Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying in one recent lecture that two things happen when we are in shelter of devotees. First is our independence is curtailed, because by default we are conditioned. We want to do something drastic, but because there are devotees, that independence is curtailed. And second thing is, it is the devotees who create facilities and an environment for us to execute devotional service. Thus, when we practice devotional service in this mood, in this attitude of taking shelter of devotees, we can perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai.